Well, a very warm welcome to you all to our carol service this evening. It's going to be a little bit different to our normal evening service in that we're going to be mainly doing carols and readings this evening. So a little bit different to the usual of what we're used to here. A warm welcome to you all and to all of those who are visiting with us. I know Sarah's friend Iris is here. Welcome to you, Iris. To our service this evening, and also to Dave Wood's family, Sophie, Shelby and Lewis. A very warm welcome to you all as well, and trust that you will know the Lord's blessing upon your lives as you worship with us here this evening. Well, we're going to begin by coming to God in prayer and asking for his blessing upon all that is said and done here this evening. So let us come to him in prayer. Our great and glorious God, we thank you again, O Lord, for the opportunity there is for us to worship you. And we thank you, O Lord, knowing that we can worship you, that we have indeed been made for this very purpose, to worship God. And so, O Lord, as we go through the elements of this service this evening, we would ask for the presence and enabling of your Holy Spirit upon each item. O Lord, as the children come out to read and as we sing carols, we do pray, O Lord, that the message of Christmas, the incarnation, the coming into the world of Holy God would come through to us and would affect us. So bless us now, we pray, and be with us, for we ask it all in our Saviour's dear and precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to begin by singing our first carol in our hymn books, hymn number 209, O Come All You Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of Angels, 209.
Joyful and triumphant.
we've got for our beginning readings, our first readings this evening, two readings from the Old Testament and from the prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesies the coming of a Saviour into the world. And so I'm going to ask Johan Mark, and Amelie to come, please, and do these two readings. There are two readings. So, those are the verses from the Old Testament that foretell the coming of Christ into the world a whole 700 years before it happened. And we'll be later on, in a little while, having readings from the New Testament, from the Gospels, from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, where we read about the fulfillment of these very verses in the New Testament. But before we do that, let's continue in our singing of Christian carols tonight by singing the next carol, which is number 220 in our hymn books. We have this lovely pastoral scene in many ways of the shepherds looking after their sheep, doing their ordinary work. And all of a sudden, an angel visits them and tells them of the wonderful thing that has happened in Nazareth. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. 220.
Watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized the troubled mind. Of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line. Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign. All men seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, and thus addressed their joyful song. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth will them to men begin and never cease.
Well, we're now going to come to the New Testament and to the Gospel of Luke. And Nathaniel, I think, is going to come forward and read to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and verses 26 to 38. Come up here, Nathaniel, and speak through that.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour, and you are to call him with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Very good. Thank you very much. Good. It's wonderful, isn't it, to recount the story as the gospel writers have written them down painstakingly, and we've been seeing in our last few Sunday mornings in our gospel series in Luke of the tremendous care that Luke took to record all of these details so that we might have them in our time to record and to learn the story of the Nativity and the accounts of how it was that Jesus Christ came into the world to be the Saviour of all men. Well, we're going to continue now by singing our next carol. It's hymn number 211 in our hymn books. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hymn number 211.
Bethlehem, how still we steal. stars go by. Yet in thy dark sweet shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. For Christ is born of men, gathered all above. While the mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, when meek souls here receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, reborn in us today. Christmas angels, the great glad tidings bell. Oh, come to us and hide in us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Well, let us come to God in prayer. Let us bow our heads. Our gracious, kind and merciful God, we do indeed thank you for this evening. We thank you for the fact that we are able to meet together to worship you. And we thank you, O Lord, especially for this Advent time, the time that comes around every year whereby we are reminded of the coming of God into the world in the form of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we are wanting to worship him this night. We are, O Lord, looking to him. And we thank you, O Lord, for the fact that he has indeed revealed to us even the Father in his coming. And we ask, O Lord, that as we worship this evening, as we enter into each of these elements of worship, the readings and the singing of the carols, O Lord, that there would be a tremendous message of salvation communicated to us this evening, that there is a possibility of salvation and of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, O Lord, we would pray that you would make this very clear to each and every one of us, O Lord, as we read the words and as we sing the words this evening. We pray especially for our children, O Lord. We pray for your blessing upon them, that as they read these words, that little gospel seeds, O Lord, would be planted in their hearts, and that they would at an early age turn to you. Lord, we lament the state of our world and society today. And so many today are saying, well, you know, we must have faith in humanity. But Lord, we know that when we look at humanity, humanity without God has nothing to offer. And so we pray that this night, that we might have faith in you, the living God, and in Jesus Christ, your Son, who gave himself to death for us, to save us from our sins and to reconcile us with God Almighty. Oh, help us, we pray. And we pray for us all here tonight. We pray especially for those maybe who have yet to profess faith in the Lord Jesus. And we would ask, O Lord, that you would make yourself a reality to them, that they in their own lives might consider the claims of the gospel upon themselves. And we do ask, O Lord, that you would in that bring the illumination and the power of your Spirit to all of these words that are said and sung this evening, Lord, that so that your word might be mighty and effectual to do that for which it is sent forth. So, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the true meaning of Christmas, which is God come down to earth to save us and to reconcile us to himself. And if there are any here this evening, O Lord, who don't believe in you, we pray, Lord, that you would arrest their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would bring them under the conviction of your Spirit, that they might turn to you, that they might be humbled, O Lord, that they might recognize their need of you and acknowledge that Jesus has been the only way to God. So bless, we pray, and minister to your people tonight. Lord, we would surely ask that you would minister to each and every one of us in the sense that we might see Jesus Christ evermore in his glory and in his wonder. And we do ask, O Lord, that as we enter in now to further carol singing and readings, that you would make these things an ever greater reality for each and every one of us, that we might see Christ in all of his glory. We thank you, Lord, that you did see kindly to send your Son into the world at this time of year so that we may be saved and that there may be a way back to us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, that the curse of the fall and of the Garden of Eden is reversed in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we can trust entirely in him to make us right with you, to give us new hearts, to give us new consciences, O Lord, a conscience that is at peace with God. And therefore, O Lord, we praise and we worship you this evening. We thank you for your many mercies towards us. We thank you that you do not judge us according to our sins. And we thank you also, O Lord, that you prevent us from the greatest of sins and that you keep us close to you. Therefore, O Lord, as we come near to Christmas now and all for all of what that means, we do indeed, O Lord, pray that you would be with our people, that you would bless this congregation of worshippers here, and also to those outside whom we may know but who do not yet know our Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Bless now, we pray, O Lord, the remaining items of the service and be with us. Help us in our singing to remember to worship you, to do our best in our singing and readings. And be with us now, we ask, for we ask it all in and through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Sanders, would you come up and do your reading now, thank you, from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. Do you want to come here? Come here, yes.
And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Amen. Thank you very much, Robert. God is a merciful God, isn't he? It's said that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here we have these prophecies of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world to do exactly that. And we saw this morning in our sermon how Emmanuel, the meaning of Emmanuel was that God is with us. God has come down to be with men, and what a wonder that is for us. Now I'm going to call on Ellen to come up and read to us further from Luke chapter 2, and the first 20 verses. So Luke chapter 2, isn't it? 1 to 20. Come up here there. Speak up nice and loud.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there were no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God, glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Okay, thank you. Great. We've been covering the matters of the angels announcing on the last couple of Sunday mornings. The first announcement being to Elizabeth and Zechariah about the coming of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, in turn, of course, would later in adult life point out to the nation of Israel that, in fact, the Messiah was already amongst them and that his name was the Lord Jesus. And then we have seen, secondly, this morning, the announcement of the angel to Mary. So this is really tonight the third announcement, the announcement to the shepherds, the dear shepherds, those who were humble, ordinary working men that really were just going about their work, and the angels visit them with this wondrous news of a Saviour having been born the city, in the town of Nazareth. So it's a wonderful news. It's a wonderful news for them because Israel has been waiting. The Jews have been wondering and waiting, and many, not all, but many have been waiting anxiously for the coming of a Saviour for them. So we're going to continue with that by singing now the fourth carol this evening, Once in Royal David City, hymn number 210. Hymn number 210. Second verse, or the second poem of this carol says, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall." You couldn't imagine a more humble beginning, could you? "With the poor and the mean and lowly lived on earth our Saviour holy." So that's 210. To the Gospel of Matthew now, and I'm going to do a reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, that covers in good detail the journey of the shepherds and how the visitation of the angels affected them, and then the account also of King Herod, who sought to catch the baby Jesus and to put him to death. So I'm beginning at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 18. Now this is the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, we'll leave it at that for the time being. The true meaning of Christmas. What do you think is the true meaning of Christmas? We're given in this world today, aren't we, to think that Christmas means any and all kinds of things to all kinds of people. It's mainly tied up in materialism. It's mainly tied up in partying. It's mainly tied up in the giving and exchanging of gifts and a general enjoying of oneself. Self-indulgence, we might call it. But there's something very wonderful about the Christmas that is described here, the original Christmas of the Bible. And we've got many characters, haven't we, that make up this story. I wonder, children, can you name some of these characters that we've seen in the stories tonight? Does anybody want to have a go at naming some of these characters? Yeah, Nathaniel. Yeah, that's right, Herod. Yeah, he was quite a dangerous man, Herod. He was a very angry man, a very jealous man, and he wanted to find the baby Jesus to eliminate any threat to his rule. So that's a good one. Yes, Ellen? Jesus, that's right. Yeah, Jesus is the central character, isn't he? Johan?
Melchior.
Okay, yeah, well, one of the wise men. Okay, yes. Nathaniel?
Angel Gabriel.
The angel Gabriel, that's right. Yes, yeah, very good. Is there any more? Any more for any more? Yeah, Amelie?
Is it Mary?
Yeah, Mary, that's right. That's very good, very important. Mary was the mother of Jesus, wasn't she? She bore the Lord Jesus in her body. And so that's wonderful, isn't it? And this is the first baby that we hear of in the New Testament, is baby Jesus. He had a very special name, didn't he? I remember having a book of names when I was preparing for the birth of our first child. And going through this book and trying to pick out a name. And oh dear, it gets very frustrating after a while because you probably end up with too many choices and you just cannot decide. Well, it was very different for Mary and Joseph. They didn't have to choose the name of their child. The angel came and told them both on different occasions what they were to call this precious little baby. And we've got a precious little baby over there as well, haven't we? But they were told to call him Jesus. Told to call him Jesus, weren't they? And the angel Gabriel visits Joseph, the father of this little baby, and he tells them what they are to call the baby. And the true meaning of the Christian Christmas, the biblical Christmas, is found in the names, the two names that are given to this baby. I wonder, have you spotted them already? Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 23. I've just read that passage. All of these names, you are to call him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then he will also be known as Emmanuel, being God with us. He will save his people from their sins. We don't very often hear about sins in this world that we live in, do we? We don't very often hear about repentance from sins. And yet, as a Christian church, that's what we preach. We preach the Bible and we preach the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. And that the only way back to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What are sins? I wonder what your idea of sin is. Is it maybe just a little misdemeanor? Is it just a little white lie here and there? Is it something that maybe you know you're wrong in doing, but you try and cover it over and you try and hide it? And then after a while you think, well, I got away with that and, you know, nobody knows, and so I've managed to successfully hide my sin. Well, the Bible tells us that God knows all about us, all about our sins and wrongdoings. The Bible also tells us that God has provided the way to deal with our sins. And this story here, it's wonderful in pointing out how God has actually come and done that. He will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that a wonderful gift to us? I wonder how many of you children enjoy having gifts at Christmas. Do you like having gifts? Presents? I don't think our children do. They don't want any gifts or presents ever. They're very, very economical to keep. I remember when I was small, we used to have a great-great-aunt come and stay with us over Christmas every year for a number of years. And when she grew up in a pretty poor household and things were rather difficult, a little bit like Jesus, the way that he was brought into the world. They didn't have very much. They had the bare necessities, but they had no more. And I remember her saying, very often all we would have would be a lump of coal and maybe a sweet or an orange or something like that for Christmas, and that's all our parents could afford. What a difference, what a contrast from today, where children almost bring out a list of the things that they want and need, so-called, for as presents. But God's gift to us is far better than any worldly materialistic gifts that we might have in this world. We read this morning, didn't we, from Luke's Gospel, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be an eternal kingdom. In other words, it will never die, it will never fade, it will never disappear. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, once that kingdom is fully inaugurated, it will be an eternal kingdom. And so all the gifts that children you might receive today, in a few years' time you will have forgotten about them. And when your parents say to you, well, where is that thing that you had for Christmas a year before last? You'll say, well, I don't know, it's disappeared, it's gone. Or it's worn out, or it's broken, or it's deteriorated. All the things of this world, all the things of this world will end up that way. And in fact, the whole of this world, in the end, will end up being consumed by the fire of God. And all, at the coming of Jesus Christ, will be judged as to their works, whether their works have been acceptable to God. And what do I mean by works? Well, have we believed? Have we believed in this little baby, this Saviour who grew up to be a man who was the Messiah, the Saviour of all men? And do we know him today? You know, the Bible also describes Jesus, doesn't it, as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. For Christians today, they know that God is with them every day. They have the indwelling presence of Christ with them day by day. And they can come to God in prayer at any moment because Jesus is with them. And the name of Jesus is given to us so that we see how God has made a way of forgiveness for those who will turn to him. That is how Jesus will come finally, once and for all, and he will judge the earth according to our response to him. Now, there are some of us who might say, well, I can't be bothered with religion. I only want to a little bit, just enough to survive, and I simply want to dip in and dip out as and when it's convenient for me. That's all I want. I don't want any more. And yet, the Christian gospel calls us to pick up our cross, to carry our cross in the name of Jesus and for the sake of Jesus Christ, to follow him. Not to simply dip in and dip out, not to simply see religion as the extra sprinkles on the top of a cake or something, an addition to our lives which improves our earthly lives, but rather that we might have relationship with the true and living God, that we might have the blessing of knowing him whom to know is life eternal. Christmas then is about forgiveness. That's the meaning of Christmas, isn't it? John in his gospel said that God had so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, have eternal life. And he follows those words with these words. He said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This was the mission of the God-man, the Christ. This was the mission of Jesus Christ, to be the God-man who would grow up to be the Messiah, who would give himself upon the cross and who would die in our place, so that we might be reconciled, so that we would be reconciled to God. And so you see, the point of Christmas is this. The whole point and the whole meaning of Christmas is that God is forgiving our sins, and he's forgiving them in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to deliver us from these sins. And that's why we call Jesus our Saviour, the Messiah. He is the Saviour of all men, because he's come to deliver us and to save us and to rescue us from our sin. Why does sin matter? Does it matter? You might think, well, sin doesn't really matter. It matters a whole lot to God, I can tell you. Sin matters. Sin is described in the Bible as a transgression of the law of God and rebellion against God. And the remedy is this, that we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be our substitute for sin, trusting in him that he would deliver us, and indeed will deliver us from the penalty of sin. These wise men that were described in the passage that I read, I noted a few things about them and about their lives and about that journey that they took from the Far East to Bethlehem. First of all, that they had read and they had believed God's word. They had seen all of the signs. They came and they sought Jesus. They recognized the worth of Jesus Christ. And that's a question for us here tonight, isn't it? Do you recognize the value, the worth of Jesus Christ? Or is he just a name to you? They humbled themselves to worship Jesus. And they obeyed God rather than man. Do you remember the dictate of Herod? Nasty old Herod to them. "Once you found him, come and tell me where he is, so that I too may go and worship him." Well, they were very wise, weren't they? They knew God. And God had spoken to them and told them not to go back to Herod. So they obeyed God rather than man. The true meaning of Christmas is bound up in the love of God, in him sending Jesus into the world to save us from our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the true meaning of Christmas is the celebration of this one great, incredible act of love. This is God's eternal gift to us. And different to our every year Christmas presents, which we might lose, we might break, they might degrade, they might be thrown away, they're only temporal, aren't they? They're only temporary. They're only with us for a few years. Jesus Christ can be for you an everlasting gift if you would respond to his call to repent and of your sins and to believe in him. All our other gifts will break and wear out, get thrown out as we grow up. But Jesus Christ will always be with us. So the question I leave you with this evening is, do you know what it is to be forgiven? Have you had your sins forgiven? Do you know the indwelling Jesus Christ in your heart? And have you trusted in him for forgiveness? And have you asked him to help you to live by his grace a life that is pleasing to God and devoted to God for his glory and not for our own. Well, may the Lord God himself this Christmas help you to consider these things very carefully and to come to God on bended knee in repentance and faith in him. Amen. Well, let's come to our next carol. We're going to sing two carols now as we come to the close of our service. So the first one is 213. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. 213. Sing to close, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn number 206.
Sing, glory.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Plug the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the sin, bruise in us the servant's head. Thou display the saving power, who in nature now restore mystic union join thine to yours and ours to thine.
God, we do thank you for this Christmas time, the time by which we thank you and worship you and celebrate the coming into the world of God himself. And how we thank you for our Saviour this night, the Saviour who came to free us from our sins, to save us, O Lord, and to be a Saviour for men from their sins. We thank you for him being also Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, what privilege this is for us as sinners to know God and to know him with us. Bless us now, O Lord, as we depart and be with us, and help us to remember these things, to be reminded of the significance of Christmas as we celebrate in the coming days and week. Bless us, we pray, and go with us now, for we ask it all in our great and marvellous Saviour's name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.